Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus lives. This is Carnita Smith with my co-host, Minister Kathy White. And we are with you again on Mission from the Heart. And we are continuing in the wonderful, wonderful teaching series, The Ministry of Jesus, recorded by Luke. And this brings us to part 6, and our focus is chapter 11 and chapter 12. Now, I encourage you to go back to the broadcast and click on the previous lessons so that you could bring yourself up current on what Sister Kathy and I have been sharing with you through the book of Luke, and definitely looking at the ministry of Jesus, all he has done and continues to do today. So before we look into these two particular chapters, I'm going to ask Minister Kathy if she could start us off with a prayer of worship. Mm-hmm. Minister Kathy.
Thank you so much. Let's pray, y'all. God, how we bless you, how we magnify you, how we adore you. We have placed you above all things in our lives. And God, we're so grateful that you allow us to read your word and to know your word, to study your word, so that we might live your word. Now, God, fill us to overflowing as we sit at your feet with Luke 11 and 12, so that we, God, might know what you say to our hearts about how to live our lives to your glory. We bless you now, God. Be glorified as we come to share the gospel. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. Go right ahead, Minister Kathy.
All right. Here we are again in the book of Luke. You will, if you'd like to, join with me with your Bible as we walk through chapter 11. And it reads, Jesus was praying in a certain place. After he'd finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. Jesus said to them in verses 2 through 4, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. Then Jesus asked the disciples, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him in midnight and asks the friend to lend you 3 loaves. For a friend of mine who is coming to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he answers and says, do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you what you need, because he is your friend, yet with persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Jesus then says to them in verse 9, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened. Jesus then goes on to say, suppose one of your fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a steak instead of a fish, will he? Or if he asks for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If then you being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He's not a demon at this point. And the man was mute. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the crowds were amazed. Some says that he cast out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. Others, to test him, were demanding of him a sign from heaven. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, any kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a house against itself falls. If Satan is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebub, and if I, by Beelzebub, cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? So they all will be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. Jesus says to them, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are undisturbed. But when someone stronger than he attacks him and overpowers him, to away from him all his armor on which he has relied and distributes his plunder. In verse 23, Jesus goes on to say, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places seeking rest, and not finding any, it says, it will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds it swept and put in order. Jesus goes on to say, then it comes and takes along seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they go inside and they live there, and the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. When Jesus was saying these things, one of the women in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed. Jesus then says, on the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. Crowds increased. Jesus began to say, this generation is a wicked generation. It seeks a sign, and yet no sign will be given to it but the sign of Jonah. Jesus says that Jonah was given a sign. Jesus says that Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites. So will the Son of Man be to this generation. Jesus said that the men of Nineveh will stand up with this generation at the judgment and condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here. Jesus says, no one, after lighting the lamp, puts it under a cellar, nor under a basket, but on a lampstand, so that those who enter may see the light. Jesus says, the eye is the light of your body. When your eye is clear, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Jesus tells them to watch out that light is in you, that watch out that light in you is not darkness. If therefore your whole body is full of light with no dark part in it, it will be wholly illumined as when a light illumines you with its rays. We will go on. And then Jesus had continued, and he had spoken to the Pharisees, and they asked him to a Pharisee who asked Jesus to have lunch with him. Jesus went in and reclined at the Pharisee's table. When the Pharisee saw it, he was surprised that Jesus at first ceremonially washed before the meal. Jesus said to the Pharisee, now you Pharisee, clean the outside of your cup and of the platter, but inside of you, you are full of robbery and wickedness. You foolish one. Did not he who made the outside the inside also? Forgive that which is within as charity, and then all things are clean to you. Woe to the Pharisees, for you pay tithe of mint and rue and every kind of garden herb, and yet disregard justice and the love of God. But those are the things that you should have done without neglecting the others. Woe to the Pharisees, for the love of the chief sits in the synagogues and the respectful greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, for you are like concealed wounds, and the people who walk over them are unaware of it. One of the lawyers said to Jesus in reply, teacher, when you say this, you insult us too. Jesus then says, woe to the lawyer as well, for you weigh men down with burdens hard to bear, while you yourselves will not even touch the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets, and it was your fathers who killed them. Jesus says to the lawyer, you are witnesses and approve the deeds of your fathers, because it was they who killed the prophets, and you build their tombs. For this reason also, the wisdom of God said, I will send to them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will kill, and some will persecute, so that the blood of the prophets shed since the foundation of the world would be charged against this generation. In verse 52, Jesus goes on to say, woe to you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You yourselves did not enter, and you hindered those who were entering. When Jesus left, the scribes and the Pharisees began to be very hostile and to question him closely on many subjects, plotting against him to catch him in something that he might say. Now, guys, because Minister Carnita is now going to come and to share some life applications with us that will help us learn to navigate through life. Sister Carnita?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we are going to look at 11, and we're going to spotlight the importance of prayer and also the test of his authority. Now, as Minister Kathy was reading through the scripture in this chapter, I hope some things popped out to you that may have made your eyebrows raised or made you think about yourself or do a self-inventory as Christ just read the religious leaders or the Pharisees the riot act. He just called them who they were. And he was bold and he was honest, of course. And sometimes when we are not lined up with the Word of God, as far as our lifestyle is concerned, now we may not quote every scripture, we may not know, memorize every verse in the Bible or whatever the case may be, but our lifestyle is an importance to a dark world that we live in today. So let's look at the importance of prayer first. Now, Luke emphasizes prayer more in his recording than any other gospel. Jesus' ministry demonstrates the importance of prayer. We talked about that in our last broadcast. In prior chapters, Jesus does demonstrate the importance of prayer, so much so that his example leads the disciples to ask him to teach them to pray. Verse 1, and it says, he was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. Jesus called the disciples to prayer, also recorded in Luke. And we see that in Luke chapter 22, verses 40 through 42. Now make note of those because I want you to read those to see how he has recorded that in chapter 22 of Luke, verses 40 through 42. And we also see that in chapter 11, verses 5 through 13, chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, and verses 9 through 14. Now, these are important verses in Scripture for you to meditate on and see the exemplification of Jesus demonstrating, called us, his disciples, to also pray. We've read at such time Jesus leaves his disciples and remains alone with God. Now don't miss that. He leaves his company and remains alone with God, our Father. Now, I make that indication, our Father, because this is what Jesus modeled or told the disciples, saying in your prayer, our Father. Our prayers should not only be prayers of petition, but also of union, intimacy with the Father. And again, I make that emphasis because he is our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. He is to be reverenced in reverential prayer. We are to set aside time, just as Jesus showed us, time alone for what, my brothers and sisters? We set aside time for meditation and hearing His still, small voice. Whether it be in your prayer closet, whether it be on your way to work in your car, where all of the noise and the distractions have been silenced, whether it be in your certain special place, we are to meditate, pray, and hear his still, small voice. This is, again, what Jesus has demonstrated to us, prayer sonship, not friendship. Sonship, a unique relationship addressing God directly as Father. He is our Father. Relationship. How do we maintain, or how do we even glue the relationship from us to him, capital H-I-M, through intimacy and prayer and meditation and hearing his voice? This claims the sovereignty, control, and liberty, freedom in the accomplishment of his plan, 10 verse 21. That Jew and Gentile through Jesus Christ by faith will come to salvation. Let me say that again. Again, directing and addressing God as our Father claims the sovereignty, control, and liberty, freedom, in the accomplishment of his plan. God's plan then is that Jew and Gentile, through Christ Jesus, by faith, will come to him, capital H-I-M, by way of salvation. And you know, this is an important time for us to stop, drop, and pray. Because, again, the importance of prayer is this very thing, that those who may not know him in the pardoning of their sins would fall and drop on their knees with bowed head and extended arms, coming to our Savior as humble as we know how, in prayer, asking him to be made new. So, Kathy, I think we ought to just take care of that right now. If you will, pray us a prayer of salvation, that those who may be listening will come to know them, come to know him for themselves. And it's Minister Kathy's words, but it's your heart, my brother and sister. So come to the feet of Jesus as humble as you know how, that you would receive the very thing that provides us eternal life. Minister Kathy?
Thank you so much, Minister Carnita. The prayer that we're about to pray, y'all, is a life and death decision. It will determine where you spend eternity. And I don't know if you're like anything like me, but I want to be with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I just pray now that as you prepare your heart to share these words with God, that you would be as serious about this as you've ever been about anything in life. So why don't you join me in prayer and just repeat after me. God, I am nowhere near what you want me to be in life. I need Jesus to come into my life. God, please forgive me for my sins. I believe that Jesus died for me and that he rose again to give me life. God, I pray now and I ask Jesus to come into my life. I pray, God, that Jesus would now become the Lord and the Savior of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, guys, if you were serious about that prayer and you prayed that prayer and sincerely in your heart, then right now, quicker than at once, you are a member of the body of faith. Jesus Christ is now your Lord and Savior, Jesus. your Lord and Savior. I encourage you now to get into a church, in a Bible study, in a group Bible study, wherever it is that you can get so that you might mature and grow and develop in the Word so that you can come to know Christ for who he is as your Lord and Savior as you continue to know about, grow to know about him and grow in the faith. Sister Carnita?
Praise God, praise God. I tell you, we are super excited that you have done this. This is the best thing ever for you, is that to know without a shadow of a doubt that you are heaven bound, as we say, that you are a child of God and on your way to heaven. If anything happens to you to where you no longer are on this side of heaven, praise be to God, you are with Jesus Christ. Now, keep in mind, my brothers and sisters, as we walked through these first 10 chapters, and we are now in 11, do not take it for granted that our journey, our life as a child of light is going to be easy street. It is a work, and it will cost us. But the work and the cost doesn't compare to what Jesus did on the cross for us as he hung, bled, buried, and resurrected for us to have a right to the tree of life. Hallelujah. So we have been blessed to be a blessing to others. So let's continue in chapter 11. Now that we've seen the importance of prayer in Scripture, now we're looking at the test of his authority. The test of Christ's authority. And as Minister Kathy read in the Scriptures, it was so clear like water to us. In these verses from 14 on, 36, and how the Pharisees and the so-called religious rulers of the law were testing Christ's authority. Verse 15 and 16, I'll read again. But some of them said, he drives out demons by Beelzebul, the ruler of demons, and others as a test, there's that word, as a test, were demanding of him a sign from heaven. Now that's a big no-no. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we aren't to look for signs and wonders when we have the very signet ring, if you will, of the King living within us. That was the purpose of salvation, surrendering our lives to him, that who he will live inside of us as Lord of our life by way of the Holy Spirit. So they wanted to test him, test his authority. So instead of praising God, instead of praising God for Jesus' healing of a mute, demon-possessed man, I call them the naysayers. The naysayers. You know some of those. You might be one yourself. But you know some of those who always have something negative to say about every little thing that has no substance. No substance. They just like to be heard. We see those in verses 15, 16, and 29. Listen to what it says in 29. As the crowds were increasing, he began saying, this generation is an evil generation. It demands a sign. but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. Now, to me, Jonah is a story that seems to be etched in the mind of those growing up listening to some of the stories that the grandparents or great-grandparents and so on have told over generation and generation. Those stories don't seem to just go away. Something about a big sea monster or sea animal that swallowed up a human man and then vomited him out, that's not a story that can be easily just forgotten. But somehow they did. They forgot about that in the Old Testament. Jesus says again, this is an evil generation. This is not his first time saying it in this particular chapter, but he tells them again about themselves. We are living in days of evil, looking for signs and wonders from God, something we aren't to do. We walk, live by faith, not by sight. And that's an important point, my brothers and sisters. We walk by faith and faith alone. We don't look for signs and wonders. We don't look into the sky or into the heavens to see if a cloud is shaped like an heart or some sort of figure that someone can point and say, see, there's a sign from God. No. Our sign is living inside of us. It's called a billboard, if you will, the Holy Spirit that shines and illuminates through us if we let him. Jesus illustrates for the foolish of mind his authority over demons in chapter 10, verses 18 of Luke, as mentioned in these verses as well. He has authority over demons to believe he is the Messiah, would not see or hear the truth of the gospel. They refuse because of their own self-righteous, puffed-up attitudes, status quo, or arrogance, to name a few. We see this in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Those are called the unfruitful fruit. It's where we read about the unfruitful fruit. They let their evilness of heart control them, they being the Pharisees. They let their evil heart, it's clear, because they continue to try to test him, to try to test Christ and catch him saying something. So this is what they continued to do, to allow their evilness of heart control them, as we see in verse 17 of this chapter. Jesus clearly says he knows their thoughts. Now, what does that say to you? What does it say to us today? He knows our thoughts. He knows what we're going to say before we say it. So a mind that's continuously on Christ, looking above, meditating, praying, worshiping, pleasing things to our Father. There it is again. So make note of John chapter 10, verses 24 through 26 and 33. John 10, 24 through 26 and verse 33 as well. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. We see that in these religious leaders. As they were thinking and doing with what they were thinking, that is who they are in character, evil. Proverbs 23, verse 7, and Matthew 23, verse 27. They were filled of darkness on the inside. Jesus said that in the scriptures. He called them what they were. They were dark on the inside. When we are healed from our sins by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as our Redeemer through salvation, no one will snatch us from the hand of God. No one. According to John chapter 10, verse 27 and 30, and Romans chapter 8, verses 37 through 39. We are the light of the world. Like a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. And you find that in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Let's look at verses 34 and 36 in chapter 11. Your eye is the lamp of the body. When your eye is good, your whole body is also full of light. But when it is bad, your body is also full of darkness. Take care, then, that the light in you is not darkness. Your whole body is full of light, with no part of it in darkness. It will be entirely illuminated, as when a lamp shines its light on you. We are the children of light. When we shine bright like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. We are not to dim down the light that lives within us, the Holy Spirit. We are not to quench it. We are not to grieve it, if you will. We are not to grieve God because of our own disobedience or our unwillingness to shine bright like a city on a hill. This is what we as his children are to do. We are to proclaim the gospel. It will cost us, and it may cost you your life, but it is very well worth it because he promised according to John 3:16. And we know that verse. And for the benefit of those who may not know John 3:16, let's read that together. And it reads this way. It says, and you follow along with me in your translation, and I'm going to read this in the NIV, I'm sorry, in the New King James translation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, this is a verse, if you have not memorized it, do so. It will be a light of reminder to you as to why you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Now we're going to continue our journey of Jesus in chapter 12 of Luke. So Kathy is going to do the exposing of the word she's going to expound on the word, and we've already had the word extended to you by way of salvation, but she is going to give us some life apps on chapter 12, and I encourage you again to come ready, take note, and listen for God's voice through the scriptures. Minister Kathy?
Thank you so much. Here we are again, halfway there, y'all, Luke chapter 12. People gathered, and Jesus began saying to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. But there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Jesus says, accordingly, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and whatever you have whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed upon the housetops. I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Jesus said, are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Jesus says, everyone who confesses me before men, the Son of Man will confess him also before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. Everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But he who blasphemes, Jesus says, when they bring you before the synagogues and in the rules and the rulers and the authorities, do not worry about how or what you are to speak in your defense or what to say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Someone in the crowd asked Jesus, teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me. Jesus says to him, man, who appointed me judge or arbitrator over you? Jesus says to the crowd, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. Jesus then tells them a parable saying, the land of a rich man was very productive, and he began reasoning with himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no place to store my crops? Then the man says to himself, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease and be merry. But God says to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now, who will own what you have been prepared, what you have prepared? So the man who stores up treasure for himself is not rich towards God. Jesus says this to his disciples, for this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor for your body or what you will put on. For life is more than food and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, he says, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than the birds? And which of you worrying can add a single hour to your lifespan? If you cannot even do a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, but I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you men of little faith? And do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink, and do not keep worrying. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, But your Father knows what you will need when you will need these things. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom, possessions, and give them to charity. Make yourselves money belts, which do not wear out, and unfailing treasures in heaven, where no thief comes near, nor moth destroys. And where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Jesus then tells them to be dressed in readiness and to keep their lamps lit. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on alert when he comes. Truly, I say to you, Jesus says, that he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. Whether he comes into the second watch or even in the third and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known of what hour the thief was coming, he would have not allowed his house to be broken into. You too be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Peter then says to the Lord, he says, Lord, are you addressing this parable to us or to everyone else as well? The Lord says back to Peter, who then is the faithful and sensible steward whom his master will put in charge of his stewards to give them their rations at the proper time? Blessed is a slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all of his possessions. But if the slave says in his heart, my master will be a long time in coming, and begins to beat the slaves, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk, no, and will cut him into pieces and assign him in a place with the unbeliever. And that the slave who knows the master will, who know the master's will and did not get ready or act in accord with his will receive many lashes. But the one who did not know and committed deeds worthy of flogging will receive but few. For everyone who has been given much, much will be required. And to whom they entrusted much of him, they will also ask the more. As we conclude in Luke chapter 12, verses 49 through 59, Jesus then says, I have come to cast fire upon the earth, and how I wish it will all have already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is accomplished. But you suppose that I come to grant peace upon earth. I tell you, no, but rather division. For from now on, five members in one house will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Jesus was also saying to the crowd, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, a shower is coming, and it turns out. And when you see a south wind blowing and you say, it will be a hot day, and it turns out that way. You hypocrites, you know how to analyze the appearance of the earth and the sky, but why do you not analyze this present time? And why do you not even on your own initiative judge what is right? For while you are going with your opponent to appear before the magistrate, on your way there, make an effort to settle with him, so that he may not drag you before the judge, and the judge turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I say to you, you will not get out of there until you have paid the very last cent. That concludes the reading of Luke chapter 12. Now, guys, I'd like to give us some life applications. God allows Luke in chapter 12 to give us at least five warnings about the walk of a disciple. If you will look with me in Luke chapter 12, verses 1 through 12, we will see the very first thing, very first warning that the disciples were given was, beware of hypocrisy. Well, a hypocrite is one who just acts, or who plays like an actor. And so what I'd like for us to look at, turn with me to Mark chapter 7, verse 6. And let me read that to you in your hearing. Mark chapter 7, verse 6. And it says this, and this is Jesus talking. And he said to them, "Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me." Wow. He's exposing a hypocrite. He's telling us what a hypocrite looks like. But then he goes on in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. You got to hear this, y'all. He says this, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them." That's a hypocrite. "Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven." Well, a life application for us in this instance of being aware of a hypocrite is this. As a believer, we must be genuine and authentic in our lifestyle, in our conversations, and in our dealings. If we are ever going to be who God has called us to be, we have to be genuine and authentic in our lifestyle, our conversation, and our dealings. Beware of hypocrisy. Not only your own, but others as well. Beware that God was exposing us to is found in verses 13 through 21. And Jesus is saying to us, beware of covetousness. You remember that brother that came and said, hey, Jesus, tell my brother to give me my share. Well, yeah. And Jesus said that we need to beware of covetousness. Well, what does covetousness look like? It's an unquenchable thirst for getting more and more of something that we think we need in order to be truly satisfied. We think we need. It's a greed. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, it says this, "Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have." Wow. "For he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Another life application for us in this text of being aware of covetousness is that as a believer, we must be content with what we have, seeking God to fully meet our needs. I think I have to say that again. As a believer, we must be content with what we have, trusting God to fully meet all of our needs. He said that he would supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Know that God knows what your needs are and that he has every intent to meet your needs. Another beware in chapter 12 is found in verse 22 through 34. Beware of worrying, not to be anxious, not to worry about the clothes you wear, the hairs on your head, and all of those things. Not to worry, not to be anxious. To worry means to be torn apart or to have a doubtful mind or to be anxious or to be vexed about something. Well, turn with me, if you will, to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. I'm going to make my way there. Philippians chapter 4. Verses 6 through 8. And let's look at what the Bible tells us about not worrying and about not being anxious. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by patience with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." God can fix it, y'all. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus." And then he goes on in verse 8, and I love this, y'all. Verse 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." Well, if we are going to be the believer that God has called us to be, then we are not to worry. We are to cast our cares on the Lord, knowing full well he cares for us. And that worrying displeases God. Worrying says to God, "I don't trust you. I got to figure this thing out on my own." But he says to us in Philippians chapter 4, he says, "In everything that we do, go to God in prayer." Everything that bothers us, everything that concerns us, go to God in prayer. And that's how we come worried. The fourth beware in chapter 12 happens in verses 35 through 53, and it's beware of carelessness. Wow. If you will turn with me to chapter 4, verse 23, we're instructed to watch over our hearts with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. We have to be aware of our carelessness and how we carry ourselves in life. As a believer, y'all, we are to be diligent in waiting and watching, to be faithful to our duties that God has called us to all of those things that he's making us responsible for, that we have to watch to be diligent, seek to be diligent, strive to be diligent, so that we will be careful about our lives, but not only that, careful about how we live our lives to the glory of God. And then lastly, the number 5 beware that I see here in chapter 12 is to beware of spiritual dullness. That would be found in verses 54 through 57. If you will with me, go to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Verses 5 through 6. I think it's a familiar passage to most of us to help us be clear about not being spiritually dull. It says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Y'all, if we are ever going to be spiritual discerners and spiritually alert as believers, we are to discern spiritual things, and to do those things keep us in harmony, not only with others, but with Christ. We started off talking about the fact that we need to pray and discern and come to know and have an understanding of what the Lord would have us do, know, and be. Again, beware of being a hypocrite. Be true to who you are. Be true to who you are in Christ Jesus. Beware of covetousness. Beware of worrying. Beware of carelessness. Beware of spiritual dullness. God has his hands on your life. And if you lack in any of those areas, I just pray that you will ask God to increase you in those areas. I pray that you will ask God to develop you in those areas so that you might be the light that God would have in our dark world today. Sister Carnita, I'm going to turn things back over to you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Those were some wonderful, marvelous, beautiful nuggets that we can grab a hold to and just take ownership of them. As Minister Kathy was expressing to us, as children of Christ, we are to be aware of these 5 warnings in Luke 12 that Christ clearly indicates and shows us some of the negativity that was going on. These are warning signs to the saints, and we need to be, as she indicated, aware of hypocrisy, or making sure that we are not coming off as a hypocrite ourselves. And a hypocrite is a person that puts on a smile in one moment, and then they have a frown on their face another moment. It's a theatrical word, if you will. You're smiling in one side, and then you are frowning on another side. And this is what we are not the day that the Lord has made for us, my brothers and sisters, to rejoice and be glad in it, to rejoice in the work of Christ, that we are to have a servant's heart, rejoice in that, to not be double-minded or two-faced in the sense of what these Pharisees and religious leaders were demonstrating, and also to be aware of covetousness. I mean, these are just beautiful, simple life's applications that can get us caught up in a world of envy, a world of jealousy, a world of bigger and finer and better things. This is a world that continues to say great when it is not great in their money, great in their possessions. Bigger cars, a bigger house brings bigger problems, bigger stresses, and eventually death. Believers are to be content, as she says, and I reemphasize that with what Minister Kathy said. It can't get any simpler than that, my brothers and sisters. To be content in with what you already have, because what you really own is in heaven. That's where we store our treasures up, is in heaven, where dust, leaves, and moths cannot destroy with what we have stored up in heaven. How do I store that up in heaven? It's what you do now. It's how you proclaim the gospel to others. It's how you lead others to Jesus Christ through salvation. It is how you walk your set-apart life from this world of wickedness, my brothers and sisters. Don't miss these simplicities of life, as well as be aware of worrying and getting anxious for things. Impatience, fruit that is not becoming of God's children. We are to cast our cares on him and him alone and walk with our head up, walk as though we know that his promises are true. We don't doubt. We don't waver like a fish out of water, flip-flopping on the bank. Meaning out of his environment, he's worried about why I can't get back in the water. We are to be content in with what the Lord has provided for us. Be aware of carelessness. Remember the Samaritan, the Good Samaritan? He cared. He had compassion. And Jesus has compassion for us. Amen. So Minister Kathy bringing these beautiful highlights out that we can grab a hold of them and be diligent in waiting and watching for the return of Christ. And while we're waiting and watching with eagerness of his return, my brothers and sisters, that we are in the vineyard working. The harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. Stand up and be a witness to someone that has crossed your path today. Share your testimony and let them know what God has done in your life, that they too may have a right to the tree of life. And then that last warning, be aware of spiritual dullness. Dullness, discerning spiritual things, as Minister Kathy said, this is what we are to do. How do we do this as believers in Christ, as a new believer in Christ, learning and growing in grace? Well, it's called the Holy Spirit, my friend. We continue to discern. That's that still small voice of God. Discern his voice, speaking to our hearts through the Holy Spirit, through his word, and that meditating on him day and night, singing songs of praise and worshiping him in spirit and in truth. This is the growth spurts that we, as believers in Christ Jesus, continue to do. It's like the flowers that come season after season. Oh, yes, they're beautiful. They're arrayed. They're adorned. But then the seasons change. We are to shine bright season after season after season, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it sounds like, no matter what they do to us. We are to stay sure-footed and firm, discerning and being spiritually flourishing and not dull and rusty, like thorns and thistles, weeds that serve no purpose. They're not as beautiful as the lilies, blue bonnets, and roses that have color, foundation, and depth. We have it all. Why? Because we are in Christ and Christ is in us. So I encourage you, my brothers and sisters, to continue in the faith, continue in the call, as Minister Kaplan has indicated with these five warnings. Don't get stale. Don't get lazy. Don't just sit soaking sour because you can say, oh, I'm saved. No, it's time to go to work, my brothers and sisters. And this is what Jesus has exemplified in these chapters recorded in Luke and many in all of the Gospels. Jesus grew up and he went to work. And we are to do the same. Praise the Lord. Thank you, my sister. We will continue in this wonderful teaching series. And I pray that this has been a blessing to your soul, that it has helped you in some way, shape, or form. But don't just hold it and keep it for yourself now. Share these beautiful nuggets with a brother or a sister or somebody in your circle of influence that they too may hear and come to know Christ just as you have, that they too will grow and go in grace. Always remember, as we say on Mission from the Heart, the grass wither, oh yes, and the flowers, as we know, fade from season after season, but the word of God will remain forever and ever and ever. God bless you, my brothers and sisters, and we will see you again on this broadcast, Mission from the Heart, in the continuance of this series, The Ministry of Jesus, recorded by Luke. Be blessed and share.